We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, that music means one thing. It's time for the Y9R weekly look into the world of collegiate and professional football. Here he is, the master of ceremonies, the governor, Tom Milliken.
All right, Stoney. Well, me and you were stuck in an airport on Saturday and couldn't watch the game. But Michigan State, going back, watching the highlights, absolutely grinded out a classic, typical Big Ten-style win on Saturday. Are there any glaring concerns out of the win heading into the big showdown with Michigan and East Lansing on the 30th?
Well, once again, they've struggled. They've won against teams with legitimately good defenses like Nebraska and Indiana. And I think the only thing out of that, I think, because they're, you know, trick plays and flea flickers have been successful, don't do ones that you might get your quarterback killed. So just don't be so trick play, you know, dependent.
Yeah. The thing for me is, you mentioned trick plays. It's big play. Right. Are they big play dependent? They didn't have those big plays. And yes, they were able to win without the big plays, but I'm curious to see what they're going to do as the competition continues to get better and better. And it's not just Michigan. I know we're talking about that game, but can they win without the big play? And turnovers, they're a bit of a concern because Peyton Thorne had two of them. If that happens, you know, how do they bounce back? How do they recover?
All right, Michigan State is off this week while Michigan hosts Northwestern. What do you need to see out of the Wolverines this week to make you think they can beat the Spartans? Because I'll tell you what, right now, if I've had to pick the game this exact minute, I would pick Michigan State to win it.
Well, I just mentioned turnovers. I don't want to see turnovers for Michigan. I know it hasn't been part of what they are, but this the six games that are coming are much different than the six games that they had at the beginning of the season. So some of those stats I'm not necessarily going to rely upon. I think if the team that wins the turnover battle is going to win this game, and if they find a way to protect the football and they find a way this week coming out of the bye to have good rhythm on offense, and that's a balanced attack, being able to throw the ball but be accurate in the passing game and so show some explosion.
Well, you stole my thunder, my friend. I just wrote down here a balanced offense with a good quarterback performance. Preferably by Cade McNamara.
Yes.
I want to see him throw the ball downfield a little bit. Make Michigan State have something else to think about. And obviously they need to pick up the running game just a little bit to where it was before the Nebraska
All right.
game.
Yes.
John, you're pretty close to the situation. Do you feel there's any more JJ in this game or a movement?
Not that we've seen before, no.
Okay.
I think it'll be somewhat situational.
If it's a blowout, I think he plays.
Oh, if it's a blowout, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I meant more meaningful time.
Right, yeah. No, I think that this is a time where you may see him in more of those running situations. They've got a certain package that they're using him in, and if they're in those situations, yes, but it's not going to be predetermined. We're going to use JJ X amount of times.
All right, Iowa was humiliated at home against unranked Purdue. Do you think that loss should eliminate the Hawkeyes from CFP consideration?
No. They'll have to obviously run the table, win the Big Ten championship game. But if things fall into place and they do that, they're in the conversation. Do I think they'll do that? No.
Right. It's talking about stealing thunder. You got mine. Because I don't think one loss eliminates you. You can have a bad loss, even though it's at home, even though it was against an unranked team, because Purdue is now ranked.
Didn't Purdue do that at Ohio State 1 year?
They
too?
Did. I think it was, yeah.
No, it was at home.
It was at home,
home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I do think they're going to lose again because that offense that they have, Spencer Petras, their quarterback, is just not good enough to run the table at this point.
Okay, so this is what I think is the most unpredictable thing heading into this season and what is transpiring at Oklahoma. Their new starting quarterback, Caleb Williams, had 295 yards and 4 touchdowns against TCU. He also added 66 yards on the ground and another touchdown, and this is replacing who was a Heisman candidate, Spencer Rattler. Kirk Herbstreit said somewhat jokingly during the broadcast that should there maybe be some Heisman consideration for Williams if he continues this trend. Do you think he's a legitimate candidate if he keeps this up?
I don't think this year. I think there were, five games that he did not play in, which means there was five opportunities that he didn't have to have that off night or a couple of games as a freshman where you turn the ball over, you don't look good. I know that he could have these unbelievable video game numbers. I just don't think it's going to be enough to compete with some of the other guys that are going to have 12 games.
The only way they're buying a ticket for him to New York is if the other guys fade. If Kenneth Walker, the third fades, if Bijan Robinson, if Bryce Young turns into a freshman.
I kind of think that, and that's what Herbie was hinting at.
Yeah.
Nobody has emerged, so why
Correct.
Not?
Because he hasn't done it enough. And if the other guys still play well, they'll have a fuller body of work, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right, if Cincinnati continues to stay unbeaten, they'll set up a classic playoff debate. Do you think the Bearcats should be in playoff consideration if they're the only undefeated team in the country?
Yes, with one caveat. Notre Dame needs to stumble. If Notre Dame stumbles and shows that win does not make a difference, then I think like a one-loss Ohio State team, an undefeated Oklahoma – or a one-loss Oklahoma team and two SECs are better.
I don't think so, because the SEC, when you play that schedule, game in, game out, you're going to be tested. Right. The Big Ten, look at the Big Ten East right now. You got four teams ranked in the top 10. Cincinnati's not going to play. They're not going to be tested week in, week out like some of these other schools are. So I just don't see how they – yes, they have Indiana. Yes, they have Notre Dame. And to your point, a lot of what they're doing, it rests on how Notre
right.
Dame does. But the rest of the season, all right, they're going to play SMU. Week in, week out, when you have to play a brutal schedule, that tests you. Cincinnati is not going to be tested.
I think the nightmare scenario is one loss Georgia, one loss Bama, undefeated Oklahoma, and one loss Big Ten East team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is going to set up one of the greatest debates ever versus an undefeated Cincinnati team. All right, I contend the Lions game on Sunday against the Rams is a manhood game for Jared Goff. He should be motivated to redeem himself against his former team. Do you agree, or am I being unfair in questioning his competitive desire?
I think it will be on full display. It should be on full display. I was in a position where I had a chance to face my former team, and there was nothing I wanted more than to beat that team. I would have done anything to beat them. I want to see Jared Goff go out there and do that. The problem is we haven't seen that competitive fire in regards to his performance. He may be able to scream and shout, and he can look disappointed. He can look all these things. But when you continually, through six games, miss easy passes, and you can't complete those, and you don't do it better in week six than you did in week one, where's the competitive desire to just improve as an individual?
I agree. Just go out and ball. Play whatever players are called. Just perform. You don't have to do the rah-rah stuff. That's not him, okay? We always talked about how Stafford, he is what he is. When I listened to him with Doug and Gator yesterday, he admits he's stoic, okay? You can be stoic all you want, but just go and ball.
All right, so the Lions' lack of depth and experience at wide receiving is absolutely killing their offense. Would you give any consideration to bringing in a vet like Golden Tate with him knowing it's a mentoring-type role?
For what? So they can win a game. It makes no sense to me. Mentoring role, that's what Antoine Randle L is there for.
Right.
I don't understand bringing a guy who probably not in shape, hasn't done anything. No.
I'm not in shape. That's not fair.
Well, whatever.
I'm sure he's in good shape.
Okay, football shape.
But other than Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's he going to mentor? who is it that you're thinking, if we mentor Khalif Raymond, then in another two or three years, all of a sudden, great, we've got we get
Golden Tate. We're going to win a game, and now we're not going to have the number one pick in the draft.
I'll admit, wrong choice of word, although he could mentor Trinity Benson maybe too. Oh, wait, who? I'm going to drop that, by the way. I'm going to give it up. I've actually been giving it some thought the last few days, and I think the listeners were right the other day. I need to back off.
Hey, we all get something stuck in our craw, and it just eats at you.
Yeah,
it's
it was
okay.
up my butt, and I got to let it out. I say this. I'm going to change the word from mentoring to stabilize the receiver room.
My point is they're going nowhere anyway. What's it going to do?
If you sign them, does that assure you a win, and what does that win mean this year?
No, nothing.
All right. I'll drop it.
That's okay.
We usually see a team that has a rough start to the season and end up making the playoffs. What under 500 team right now will end up making the playoffs?
Well, I don't think any will, but if I had to pick one, I'll give you one from each conference. Is that fair?
Mm-mm.
No? All right, I'll pick one.
I want one, because I think it's easy. There's an elimination game this week.
I think it's – I didn't even look at the schedule. I'm going to say that's the Colts.
All right, the Colts play at San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Francisco.
That was my other team, Colts and the Niners. Yeah.
The problem with San Francisco is the division that they play in and the schedule they have to play. It's going to be tough.
That was a big tough Monday night game for the Colts.
It was. The
Titans won that game.
All right, finally, we're roughly a third of the way through the season. We usually do this at the you know, third way mark throughout the year. Would you like to revise your Super Bowl prediction?
I'm standing pat. The Bills and the Bucks.
Well, you stood pat last year with the Chiefs and Bucks, and you nailed it.
I'm standing pat, too. The Bills and the Packers. I think the Packers, I know the Alexander injury is a concern, but
They're playing well.
I'll stay in pat on my 49ers pick for now. I believe coming off the bye here, Shanahan's going to get them going. It's still a little bit of a long shot, but the Browns, I got to back off on. I mean, their injuries, two tackles, the receivers are banging up, now the running backs. I mean, you could see early that they had Super Bowl credentials, but it's falling apart, and there's just way too much in the AFC.
Well, I agree. The AFC is tough.
And I was a Bills hater.
I know.
They're looking good even though they lost Monday night.
Does that take down your Kevin Stefanski Coach of the Year award too? The injuries?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's not a great coach. I'm not saying he is.
I'm just saying because Gov's got Kevin Stefanski on one end and Trinity Benson coming out the other. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Wide Nine here on 97.1 The Ticket.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.